It is a blessing to be here with you this morning, to be in the presence of God, to have such a wonderful opportunity to sing together, to pray together, to encourage one another as we strive to serve the Lord. What a blessing it is to be back with you. Brother David's comments bring back many good memories of our fellowship. The encouragement that this good congregation has given me in my work, not only here in our good country of the United States, but elsewhere. I have written and said orally that the partnership that we have in preaching the gospel gives me the courage that I need to preach Christ and to live the gospel that I preach. Thank you so much for the invitation to come back and be with you and work with you this week. It is always an honor to be invited. Always an honor to be given the opportunity to preach. I told some of the friends that I have, I do have friends, by the way, that the church here has invited me several times. And it is the opportunity to do even better. Ralph and I were talking about this, about how we all grow and how we want to excel. We want to do things right to please our God, our Savior. But at the same time, for our own salvation, because we want to be right and correct in the sight of God. Thank you so much, and may God continue to bless you in the work that you do here. And not only here, but with other men that you are encouraging in their work. God is good, and what a blessing it is to be associated with such a good group of brethren as you are here as University Heights. Minnie and our grandchildren, we're looking forward to the opportunity to come here, but like David explained, this new school system, this new way of wanting to educate our children has put such a tremendous burden on us and the children. But I want you to know that it has put a tremendous burden on my wife. At our age, it's just so difficult. And when we go to bed at night, it is a real blessing to go to bed. We're so blessed with the children because they are ready to go to bed early. And boy, I tell you, I tell many, we shall not break that good habit of theirs. Let them go to bed early. And it really helps to charge our batteries and be ready to wake up the next morning and help them as they develop. One of the twins, Katya, was reminding me yesterday morning. She said, Dad, you told me that on your next trip, I'll be going with you. I said, I sure said that. I said, but you got to wait. There will be opportunities to accompany me. And she's 6 years old and just full of energy. I wish I had 10% of their energy, and the other 90% I would sell and probably make a million. We will be focusing on spiritual growth. We already did so this morning in our class. We shall do so again in the lesson here this morning in a few minutes. And this is what we shall be doing all the way through Friday night, speaking on spiritual growth. But tomorrow, we begin Vacation Bible School. Monday through Friday nights, we will be addressing the book of James. And I call this James according to James, because what I'd like to do is use James' own words to explain, to focus on the things that he wrote. And we shall do the best we can to do that Monday through Friday night. But spiritual growth, it has to have a beginning. There are several Bible scriptures that could help us in our study of spiritual growth. I have selected 1 Peter chapter 1. We are going to camp on chapter 1 this morning and look at several things that stand out in chapter 1. And we are going to begin with verse 3 and read verses 3, 4, and 5. Because we have an introduction here written by Peter himself, an introduction that begins, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." This introduction helps us to look at several things here. Peter begins by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The word "blessed" in the Greek is a word from which we get the word "eulogize," to speak of, and in this case, to speak well of. Peter says that we speak well of God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are several things for which we give thanks to God, and we will deal with gratitude and the part that it has in spiritual growth. And Peter here begins by saying, "Blessed be the God." But blessed according to his mercy. And he uses the word "great" to emphasize the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he also says that God has caused us to be born. And look at the word "again," which is giving us already the idea that this birth that he's talking about is not the natural, physical birth, but pointing towards a spiritual birth. Blessed be the God and Father. According to his great mercy, he has caused us. He is behind the reason why we have become Christians. And then he goes on to say, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ,
from the dead. And here, he is pointing to something that is very true. We grow towards the hope of eternal life. And this hope that we have is guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just as he died, was buried, and was raised, was resurrected, the power of his resurrection confirms that our hope of eternal life is a sure thing. And then he goes on to mention that this hope is an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is real. It is strong. It will survive every and all evil intent. This inheritance, this eternal life, cannot change. And then Peter goes on to say, it is kept in heaven for you. And what this does is point us towards a spiritual place versus the material earthly place. And what Peter is saying here is very true, that what we're looking at, it is eternal life in heaven. And he says that this is kept in heaven. It's in heaven. And what it does, it destroys the idea that we will live on earth forever. That doctrine is not true. It does not exist in the New Testament. It does not exist in the Bible. The hope of every Christian is to live in heaven forever. And notice what he says, who by God's power are being guarded. The word power here in Greek is the word from which we get the word dynamite. By God's dynamite, by God's power, his dynamic power, we are being guarded. But listen, through faith. This salvation, this hope of eternal life, is conditional. It's conditional on our faith. It's conditional on our obedience. And then Peter mentions when this will happen. This salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And of course, this points towards the second coming of Christ. When will this happen? Well, Peter says this is going to happen whenever Christ comes again. That's the introduction that we have here, given by Peter himself. This chapter 1, brethren, helps us to understand several things that I think need to be explained. First of all, that believers are born again to a living hope. That's what verses 3, 4, and 5 teaches. Peter is emphasizing the fact that any person that is born again, spiritually born, is born for a reason. And that reason is a living hope. But I want us to notice that he also makes mention that we are ransomed with the blood of Christ. Look at verses 18 and 19 of chapter 1. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And then he goes on to say, in verse 22 of chapter 1, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. So how did all of this happen? Peter says that these believers were born again. They were redeemed with the blood of Christ. And therefore their souls were purified by their obedience to the truth. But notice the next point that he makes in verses 23, 24, and 25. That these that were born again were born again of imperishable seed. Notice the words of Peter. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. So this is how this happened. This is how it all got started. He has caused us to be born again. We are believers. We are ransomed. Our souls have been purified because we were born again of imperishable seed by the Word of God. God caused it. That is how it all came about. But at the very end, in chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter is telling these same people that were born again to do something. And he says, like newborn infants, not that they were, listen to me, not that they were newborn infants, because they had obeyed the gospel. They were already Christians. But he tells them, long for the pure spiritual milk. Long for the Word. Long for the gospel. Have a desire to be fed. Have a hunger for the gospel of Jesus Christ. What for? Well, look at verse 2 there at the very end. That by it you may grow up into salvation. So Peter here has an introduction, and then he has an explanation about how this whole process is working. He tells these people that were born again that they ought to long for the gospel that made it all possible. And that by these words of God, they were to grow up into salvation. That's what he said. But let me ask you, is that it? Does that make it all happen? Just because he had all of these words, because he had all of this introduction, and because he had all of this explanation, is that it? Is that where it ends? Or does Peter have more to say concerning this spiritual growth? Well, you know that he had more to say. And I point to the word that is found here in chapter 1 and verse 13. The word therefore, after writing from verse 1 to verse 12, Peter comes to a conclusion Now that word, therefore, is not there just to fill a space. The word therefore is not there just to make it sound good. It's there because there's a connection. Because there's an application. Because there is a conclusion. Because there is a calling to do something. It is not just beautiful language being written here. It is not just beautiful language that is being spoken here. I want you to notice that there is a need to follow up on the things that Peter is talking about to these people that he was explaining what had happened to them. And the first thing I want you to notice is that in that very same verse, verse 13, Peter tells these same brethren that had been born again, prepare your minds for action. And what does that mean? That means be sober-minded. Well, you know, who would have thought otherwise? Who would have thought that was not so? Well, there was a reason to make the statement. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The New King James Version reads in verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind. The idea here is to bring your thoughts together. To bring your mind into a controlled environment, if you please. And the idea also is understood when he says being sober-minded. And that means a mind that is free of drugs, stimulants. The idea is to be having a mind that is under control. Does not go one day one way, another day it goes a different route. To be influenced by different things. Different doctrines, different beliefs, different things. But bring it all under control. Prepare your minds for action. And the way you prepare your mind for actions is to have it under control. Well, he goes on to say exactly how. How do you do all of this, Peter? Well, following verses 14, 15, and 16, he says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The picture that Peter is painting here, this drawing that he has here, points towards children of obedience. And let me tell you that obedience characterizes the Christian that will be saved. The idea that a person will be saved according to the things that Peter writes about and describes here in chapter 1 depends on the obedience of that person that has been born again. And of course, the context points towards what it means. And he talks about holiness, sanctification, pureness. And remember that he started this by saying, prepare your minds for action. On the way over to the building this morning, we were discussing this in the car, Brother John and I, about the simplicity of the gospel and how men complicate the gospel. And Peter says here that what is required of us is to follow the instructions. You don't have to waste time in thinking how to do things. Well, God wanted me to be born again and to hope for eternal life. Now, how do I get this done? How in the world do I do this? Follow the instructions. You don't have to waste energy on thinking. Look at what he says and do it. This is just how simple it is. You know, we as parents and grandparents, we tell our children and grandchildren, follow instructions. It's that simple. There's nothing hard about the gospel. It's so sad that our denominational world, society, complicates all of this. And God, all he does is just makes it so simple. And that is exactly what Peter is telling these brethren. But notice something else. Conduct yourself with fear. Look at verse 17. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. What kind of attitude should rule our lives in regard to God Almighty? Reverence and respect. Another thing that we teach our children and grandkids. We tell them, respect your parents. Respect the people that have the rule over you. Respect people that are helping you. Respect your fellow man. But let me tell you that this respect is a respect of reverence. And that is being called upon towards God Almighty in your conduct, in your life, in your life as a Christian. Remember to have the respect and the reverence for God. Boy, do we need to preach that. Boy, do we need to teach that. Boy, do we need to impress that on the minds of our children and grandchildren, on all the people that we can. In our country, there has been lost a reverence and a respect for God. How we wish that people would listen and hear. Peter is making such a strong statement concerning this very point. But I want you to notice something else. In chapter 2, I have chapter 2 there, and I think it's chapter 1 and verse 22. That's the first mistake of this year, by the way. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the gospel for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. This being born again carries with it the responsibility to love one another. But that this love, this brotherly love, be pure. Some versions have the word genuine. truthful, real, sincere. And we're going to talk about that later on in the week. But Peter is emphasizing for now that because they have purified their souls in their obedience, and they did this for a sincere brotherly love. In other words, this was a love that was brought into their hearts by the gospel. This love that was in their hearts and put there by the gospel of Jesus Christ, it ought now to be exhibited, poured out. Just don't stay with it. Don't keep it in your heart. But put it out there. Throw it out there. Exhibit the love that you have for one another. He has caused us to be born again, and this will take one towards loving from a pure heart. But notice something else that he points out in chapter 2 and in verse 1. So, there you have the word again. Remember the word therefore? You have another word here. So, it's not there just to fill the space. It's because it's making a connection based on what he has said. So, therefore, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Wait a minute. Didn't he say that in chapter 1? Yes, he did. Look at verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. So when you changed, when you were born again, Peter is telling these Christians, so put it away. The word put away in the Greek teaches the idea of someone taking his clothing off. To put away is to take off. Take off. Do away with. Don't wear it anymore. Throw it away. Dispose of it. Of what? Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy. We're going to talk about that. You know why? Because these are things that hinder the spiritual growth. Because these are things that will keep a Christian from growing and eventually will keep that person from entering that special place in heaven that is so dear to many of us. So when we talk about these things, the questions that come to my mind here as we bring this lesson to a close this morning, have you been born again? Have you purified your soul? Have you tasted that the Lord is good? I want you to notice in verse 3 of chapter 2. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. That makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense if a person has really and truly been converted into a Christian. Then that's what it's all about. Well, what does it take? Well, it takes hearing and believing the gospel. repenting, that is, putting away sin, confessing your faith in Christ, and being immersed for forgiveness of sins. That's how you are born again. This is what makes it all possible. When Peter says he has caused us to be born again, this is it. But this brings up other questions. You already been born again? You already a Christian? Have you quit? Or have you given up? Have you stopped growing? I was telling Ralph between the class and our assembly this morning.
I am one of those that was born in the church. I grew up in the church. And I know a lot of brethren. I was 6 years old when I first stepped into a church building to hear a sermon being preached in Spanish by a Christian. I'm 68. So I've been around for 62 years around Christians. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm not ashamed of this, I know that my growth as a Christian is due to my company with a lot of gospel preachers. I grew up with several that are still preaching. Last year, a good friend of mine was invited by one of the area churches to preach. And that night that I went over to hear him preach, the first thing he said when he got up to preach, he says, "I preached this sermon back in 1967. He says, "So you're going to hear a sermon that I made in 1967. You know what I do with sermons that I preached in 1967? I throw them away, Adam. I don't want nobody to find them. Because I want to grow up. Because I want to improve. Because I want to do better. I don't want to preach a sermon that I preached in 1967. And I want you to know that I'm more than sure that you don't want to hear it either." This idea of growing, we cannot stop growing. We have to continue. So this morning, if you have forgotten the Lord's goodness, well, there's something you can do. Very simple. You can return to God and His Word. You can repent and confess it. Because God is ready and willing to receive you again. An invitation song has been prepared for us to encourage us and to praise God. If you are subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.